My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am so happy to be with you today. Today, we are talking about getting out of the negative in relationships and getting into the positive. I've been talking about this a lot lately. I've talked about this recently on a live on Instagram and YouTube, and I might have actually talked about this on a podcast episode this year, but there is an epidemic of so many of us starting out in the red in a relationship and not even realizing that we are. So that when people start to give us a little bit more, we think that there's progress that's happening, but actually we're still stuck in the same issues where we're not actually making the movement that we think we are. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk more about what that looks like, the example that I've been using when I talk about this recently. And then also I'm going to give you three examples of what it looks like when your relationships are in the negative, when you are just existing. So the bare minimum that we actually talk about a lot. And then also what it looks like to be a healed and loved woman. So y'all know, if you've been a listener for a while, the framework that I use to help women just excel to get past love addiction, we're going from being love addicted to love balance, love avoidant to love available, and love deprived to feeling love nourished. And when we're able to incorporate all three of these things, we are a healed and loved woman. And caveat to that, for anyone who's just joining me or a stickler for rules and definitions, we understand that healing is a lifelong process. We understand that we're always going to be in a process of growth and change, but I'm talking about getting to a place where you feel so connected to yourself, your joy, your body, that you're open to relationships, that you're open to receive love and give love without feeling like you need to self-abandon, and to let that be your normal, to let that be your everyday experience versus feeling like you're going up and down in a roller coaster and you're feeling good sometimes and bad sometimes and lost sometimes and present sometimes. We want your normal state to be more stable, and not even just stable, but to be abundant, and for you to be in deep, intimate love and connection with yourself, which allows you to be in deep, intimate love and connection with others. So we're going to be talking about that. And then I'm going to share a few of the roadblocks that I've seen some of my clients experience when it comes to working through this, especially when it comes to working through this in community with others, because these are the types of things that a lot of times we want to just try to do on our own, but it's shame that keeps us stuck. Whenever we live in secrets, that's what keeps us stuck, because it reinforces these narratives and stories that say that we are shameful or that we are bad or that we are broken and that we need to hide. And it's not until we earn this magical status of health and healing that we're going to be deserving of love. And so we need to break all of that. So that's what we're talking about today, y'all. We're talking about getting out of the negative into the positive, into relationships. I'm going to be covering all of that today. So let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Attention to all my proud plant parents. It is time to give all of your plant babies the best nutrition you can, starting from the bottom up, and that starts with the best soil to help them grow happy, nourished, and strong. Coast of Maine is an organic soil brand that is approved for organic growing and has been sourced from ocean waters and farms for over 28 years. With a full range of products that support every garden and lawn, Coast of Maine products are made to restore roots to the natural world. If your soil lacks appropriate nutrients for success, by adding Coast of Maine products, it will help regenerate the healthy microbes in your soil and set you up for gardening success. And if you have a vegetable garden, not only do you benefit via an abundant harvest, but find that there is less need to maintain and feed throughout your season. Coast of Maine continually perfects the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. The products are carried by tons of local retail partners who can provide advice and insight that is not found in the big box stores. Costa Maine knows from beginner to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community for gardeners everywhere, which is why I love how they make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone. So let's get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. Coast of Maine, like the state with an E.com. Okay, so today's episode was inspired by a conversation that I've had recently with one of my soon-to-be recovery school students. I'm very excited for her to be joining, but she is someone who has been following me for a long time. We have talked in the DMs. We had talked about working together. She was thinking about doing private work versus joining the recovery school and what might be the better fit and all that stuff. And in the process of us talking about that, I asked her, so what is it that you're wanting to work on? Because I want to make sure that wherever I point you to is going to be the right fit, if the right fit at all, depending on what you want to work on. Working with me, I might not be the right next step. So she tells me about her situation. And part of her telling me about her situation, she's detailing this experience with this man who is still attached to somebody else, who is not physically available for her. But whenever he is around, she really likes him. This person being attached to somebody else, anytime he chooses to spend time with her, she feels a little bit of rush of excitement and feeling valued, that she is more valuable than this other person. Even as she's telling me this, she's like, please don't judge me for this, which I'm going to say a little bit about that in a moment. But she's talking about these experiences and what she wants to work on. And I'm thinking, okay, that's literally what I've built the program for. But she's telling me some of the things that she thinks I'm going to say based on what she's heard in the podcast, and also some things that her friends and family have told her. And she said one of the things were that she hears from lots of other people, and maybe even some things that I've shared before as well, is that whenever someone is in a side chick-ish situation or with someone who is not fully connected to them or not fully devoted to them, then that is a sign of low self-worth. And she was like, I don't understand how that can be because I think that I'm great. And earlier in our chat, she had listed all these really great things about herself. She's beautiful and she's talented and she's great with her community members. Even in our chat, I could feel the life and the love from her. I could just feel just the warmth, and she was cracking me up and we were just having such a good time in the DMs chatting. And she was like, how can this be a sign of low self-worth when I'm happy? Kinda. And the kinda was, I mean, even the situation in itself before her adding the kinda was kind of like, well, are you, because you've been in this relationship with this person for so long, they aren't really fully connected to you. They are still messing around with other folks as well. And you're not getting everything that you want. This episode, talking about starting getting out of the negative in relationship, is this situation, but there's so many other situations where we will be connected to people who may be romantic partners, they may be friendships, they may be work situations, there may be family connections and stuff, that we are happy there, kinda. We are content with what is happening. We're getting everything we want and we need, that we want and that we need, kinda. Kind of sorter, sometimes, every once in a while. But when I get it, it feels really great. And so what you don't understand is that you've actually been operating in a deficit in a relationship, and that's been your normal for so long. So that when someone comes and gives you a little bit more, it feels like a big increase. It feels like an upgrade. It feels like it's getting closer to what you want, when really you're still stuck in the mud. So here's the example that I've been using whenever I've talked about this live. And like I said, I think I may have talked about this on the podcast before. So when you have a background in your childhood trauma, when your childhood trauma consists of childhood emotional neglect, it can be other different types of trauma as well. It could be physical abuse. It could be sexual abuse. It could be poverty trauma. It can be racism, colorism. It can be any of them, but especially and primarily childhood emotional neglect, which is not the things that happen to you. It's the absence of things that you needed. The types of things that I may talk about often here on the podcast. So having people who celebrate you and see you for who you are, not for what you can do for them, not because you look good and you're making them proud too, so that they can brag on you, not because of what you look like and how you act, not because of how you are being useful to them, but that they truly love and adore you and they verbally affirm you of this, that they are physically affectionate, that they don't withhold love and care from you to punish you, to teach you a lesson. There's a difference between discipline and having rules and structures, but when they withdraw just complete affection, care, tenderness, and all that, especially for extended periods of time, to show you just how disapproving of you that they they are. Any messages around you being a mistake, being a burden, being in the way, being not good enough, all those things are things that lead into childhood emotional neglect. The times that you needed someone just to be available for you, the times that you needed someone to tell you that it's going to be okay instead of you having to figure out and be strong enough and not have to push down your needs, because now you've learned that to have needs and to be comforted or to want to be comforted is a sign of weakness, is a sign of you being selfish, is a sign of you asking for too much. All of these things, again, are things that lead into childhood emotional neglect. Being compared to siblings and to others. Why can't you be like them? This is the star child. You are the scapegoat. Or even you being the golden child. And again, your love and your connection and everything that you get from caregivers and everybody else is dependent on what you do for them. It is not something that you can stand on, not something that's secure, not something that can be trusted. So that leads to many of us either becoming anxiously attached or avoidant attached or mixed disorganized attachment, which has a little bit of everything in it, because we had to learn how to cope. We had to learn how to make do with what was being given to us and to make sense out of it. There are different directions people go with those types of experiences, but you had to learn how to survive, because to be in that type of environment where you are not accepted, where you are judged, imagine, if you will, maybe not yourself if it's kind of too triggering or too overwhelming for you, but imagine a 3 or 4 year old in front of you and imagine them being talked to in a way that you were talked to as a child. Imagine them having a parent or a caregiver that had that child white in front of them, but completely ignored them, didn't play with them, that decided to only give them things when they were acting good, that made that 3 or 4 year old emotionally take care of their parent or caregiver, to be in the middle of arguments and everything, to make that child take care of the infants and the other ones who were in the room and become parentified at a very young age. These may be things that you experience, and me just even talking about this may even be hard, even though you're not in that place, but your body remembers. But I want you to imagine a child that's not you going through that. And imagine what type of justifiable anger you would have to see and to witness that from even the kids and the other people that we see online and the things that go viral, and just watching people who put these really horrible experiences that are happening to children and you wanting to kind of rush in and just say that's not right and hoping that there are people around to help that child. For many of us, if not all of us listening, at some point in our life, we were that child. We were that one who needed to, even in a household that had food on the table every day, parents that came to all your games, people who were financially stable. If you felt deeply alone and deeply unseen in your house and you had to learn how to make do, then without the constant access to physical and emotional affection and care and nourishment, those are things that you need as a child to get through life. That's why the example of imagining a 3 or 4 year old at that age is very important, because sometimes we can have so much disconnection from ourselves, because in order for us to learn how to go through the world, because how does it help me to know that I need comfort, to know that I need affection, to know that I need love and it's not in front of me right now? It's better for me to stay busy. It's better for me to stay distracted. It's better for me to push these emotions down, to become numb and to find other ways to find joy and fulfillment and to feel in control, or to find other people that might give me what I need and become a people pleaser, than to actually be in touch with this. So that's why when I meet a lot of women and I'm trying to get them to be in touch with what they need and what they want, it can be really hard for them. Or they can have access to it, but then find immediate shame and guilt or feel as if they're being a bad person to have needs or to be selfish. It is so hard for my clients who struggle with a history of codependency and people pleasing to put themselves first. And it's so easy for them to try to negotiate with the crumbs that people are offering them and see them as effort. So going back to the example of being in a negative, I just needed to give y'all some context for you to know how you get to this place when this happens to you. Childhood emotional neglect is the number one common experience for every single client that I work with. And just the way that it looks may be different, but is what's happening. So when I have a background of childhood emotional neglect, I grew up in a setting where my baseline is not zero for emotional care and concern. My baseline is actually like negative 10, negative 20. Because I didn't have access to it at all. And if I did have access to it, is when I did something or said something that they found approving or it benefited them, or they happened to be available and or sober or lucid or whatever it may be. And so I'm already at like a negative 20. So when they decide to be kind to me, when they decide to give me some attention, when they decide to give me some praise, when they decide to give me some affection, when they decide to give me money or resources, I go from a negative 20 to now I'm at a negative 15. But that's also not consistent. because they don't have access to it. They either don't know how to, or don't know, or they don't want to give us the type of love and care that we need. Maybe they're currently going through their own trauma experiences. Maybe they're narcissists. Maybe they're doing the best they know how, but their childhood was more traumatic than yours, or just as traumatic. So their step up is better than what they had, but it's still deficient. Not because they're trying for it to be, but it's just all they know. So either way, I go from a negative 20 to a negative 15, but that's really hard to keep consistent. So I've learned my whole life to not really expect that much from people, that my image and my model for love and for connection is in the negative. So I go through life with a baseline of negative 20, learning how to be very independent, to take care of myself. When disappointments happen, to keep it moving, or to take the things that people give me and try to make do. So now I decide that I want something better. Now I decide that, and I've always decided it, but now I know that I deserve love and I deserve for things to be better for me. So now I have people who are constantly giving me negative 20, and I'm able to say, you know what? I don't like that. So I'm going to try to do better. So I'm not going to be with these folks that may be abusive, or these people who might be overtly trying to shortchange me. So now I get with someone who comes to me, but they come to me with negative 15 or negative 10. So it's still not baseline standard, and I'm going to talk about what baseline looks like. But they're giving me more than what I've had before. So in this situation, I told the example of the person I was talking to in the DMs just so I could use it for the rest of this episode, especially because this is a common thing that I've heard. It's such a common scenario that I've heard from so many women over the years of me doing this. You are not alone. That's why this podcast exists. That's why we have so many people who follow this platform, because it may feel like you're unique in this, especially if you have friends that are healthier, if they have bad relationships, they're able to recover and move on and find their peace. And so you can start to feel like, what's wrong with me? Even if you listen to this podcast all the time and you're still working through some things, you can start to feel like, look, I've been in it and still doing this stuff, right? So you decide that you are going to raise your standards, and you give someone who's coming at a negative 15, negative 10. So maybe negative 20 looked like for you people who were abusive towards you, either verbally abusive or physically abusive towards you. They tried to isolate you from folks in the past, and now you decide you're only going to date men or women who are nice to you. So you meet someone who's very nice. However, they have a situation on the side that they're working through. You meet someone who is very nice, but they tell you up front or throughout your conversations together, they tell you, you know what, it's really hard for me to talk about my emotions and to be present. And I really shut down and I kind of get angry sometimes. But what I really love about you is that you kind of bring it out of me and that you really understand. And so I appreciate that. So this person is telling you from the jump that they are emotionally unavailable, which is negative. You need. Not want. You need someone who is emotionally available, who is accountable, who is responsible, who is dependable, who has their own sense of integrity, who is self-led. This person tells you from the jump that they are not emotionally available, but at least you have someone who knows the words emotionally available and who's using them appropriately in a sentence, and they're not using it in a way to gaslight you or use it against you. You've gone from a negative 20 and you're up, baby. You're flying higher. So you, seeing this raised standard, you think that this is an upgrade from what you've had before, not realizing that you're still being set up to be in a relationship with someone that you are going to continue to do the emotional labor for. You're going to continue to be the one who's constantly chasing, not getting what she needs, not being seen, not being heard, because this person does not have the physical or emotional capacity to hold space for not only you, but also themselves. So now you're doing double load. Or maybe your negative 20 looks like you being in relationships with people who were really dominating and controlling, and people who just didn't ever let you have any space in your life to have a say, right? The relationship was very focused on them and like no more selfish people. And now you meet somebody who is such a nice woman or man. They're such a nice person. And they are so great at listening to you and communicating and just holding space for you. However, they don't really have an opinion about anything. And you're someone who go from the extreme of having someone who's trying to dominate you to now someone who's so open, and you get to make all the decisions. You get to be in control. You get to do all this other stuff. But this has still set you up to be in a relationship who is also not considering your needs. So at the negative 20, what that looks like is they're not considering your needs because they're more focused on what they want. And this setup right here, you have this person who's just so open, but they're also so passive. They're not going to go out of their way to make sure that you're comfortable. They're not going to go out of their way to make sure that you're protected. They may say some nice things at first, but they don't really have the oomph or the self-accountability in them. But that's okay because you're used to taking care of yourself and you'd rather have people not be in the way at all so that you can go ahead and be in control and make all the decisions. You're totally fine with that. Y'all are in agreement with that. But now you get to live a life in a relationship where, again, you're not holding on to your own space as well. Now you have to tell someone what you need to feel loved and what you need to feel seen, but you're with someone who is passive and neglectful. So, what looked like an upgrade going from negative 20 to negative 15 or 10, you still have someone who's just as neglectful of your needs, but they're nicer in presentation. Here's the risk that happens when you are still in the negative and you're going from negative 20 to negative 10. You mistakenly think that because you're moving up, that you're dealing with someone who is or dealing with a situation that there's space for compromise because you're coming with your full heart and your full openness and your logical mind and your self-help work, your self-help healing, and all this other stuff, the work you're doing in therapy. So you're taking the fact that you're communicating to this person who is nicer in presentation and everything, and that because this is better than what you had before, that they are going to move to giving you everything that you need and that you deserve. But you've been dealing with someone from the beginning that was already shortchanging you with the attention, commitment, and time that you need. And just to use the example that I already shared with the person before, so maybe you have someone who is constantly cheating on you. Your negative 20 is people who are constantly unfaithful to you. They are always talking to other people. There are girls who are calling you and coming to you as a woman all the time. And that's your deal breaker. I'm not doing that anymore. Now at negative 15, negative 20, you're now with people who, and this is no poke at people who are in long distance relationships because I know that there are so many relationships that this is your story and it works out beautifully. But just because of the nature of the podcast and how we can walk into a room of 100 people and somehow spot out the people who have the deal breaker that's going to make them unavailable, I have to use this as one of the examples of unavailability. So you go from someone who is blatantly unfaithful, and now you keep meeting people who live crazy amount of distance away from you. They have complete opposite schedules than you do. Like literally, you have the day shift and they have the night shift. You have people who have impossible family situations that prohibit you from being together, whether or not it's because of religious base or cultural base. I meet so many people, especially depending on the background of their parents, if their parents are immigrant, and this is across the board. They fall in love with someone or they're falling in love with someone and their parents do not approve of them, but this is not a situation that the person that they're dating is willing to go against what their family want. And so I found another person who is unavailable to me. I went from negative 20, them being unavailable to me and being unfaithful in this way. And now negative 15, negative 10, this person is unavailable because of this. But because it doesn't look like the way it did before, I'm willing to try to work with it, to be patient, to have conversations, to give chances, not understanding. This is my last time saying it before I transition. Not understanding that we are deserving to enter into relationships with people who come in with a baseline standard of physical, emotional, and financial availability. The baseline standard of being available in all of those ways. I'm not even getting into places of abundance, depending on what abundance looks like for you, but just someone who is ready, someone who is willing, and someone who is able to be in a committed relationship with you in all aspects. You are deserving of that. And as much as we know, we hear that there are stories that happen and people will traverse different difficulties and different roadblocks. Love addicts have a way of romanticizing the biggest red flags and danger signs, thinking that this is our time for our story. It is our time for, we hung in there. Love can be hard. Struggle love can be hard. And through time and prayer and talking to our pastors and meditation and learning how to detach and let people go, we came back together. They grew, I grew. We just had to grow together. We hope that that's going to be our story. And so going back to what my client said about how can this be low self-worth if I'm happy, kind of. Because if you knew and understood how freaking amazing and treasured and deserving and incredible you were, you would not let someone come to you with half measures. You would not let someone entertain your time, your body, mingle with your soul, get you all intertwined and excited if they were going to, from the jump, shortchange you. And if that's what's happening from the jump, it only gets worse. So when I have clients who meet someone and they're giving them now negative 10, negative 15 is more than what they've had before. And let's say I point out, if I happen to be working with them or their friends or their therapist or somebody else points out that there's this deficit, right? One, you're protective of that because this is better than what you've had before. And then also, because these are typically people with nicer presentations and have some semblance of communication skills, this is a situation that you can usually go to them and tell them what you want. They're not going to directly gaslight you and blame shift and everything on you at first. They're going to probably say some nice things or apologize or say they'll try or try for a little bit. And so you'll go from this person who's giving you negative 15, negative 10, and now they're giving you negative 8. And you're like, woo, I told you. All I had to do was communicate. All I had to do was pray. All I had to do was just be patient. And look, it's moving. It's moving. And that buys more time for this person who was already coming in the negative. They were already giving you as best they could from the beginning. They came in at the negative, and now you think that you're moving on up to the east side. You think that you are about to be the Jeffersons, going into a whole new life together. When meanwhile, this person just gave you a little spurt of what was available, and then they went back down to negative 10. But because that negative 10 and negative 15 was better than what you've ever had before, you're used to the negative. And you're not really accustomed. You don't know if you're deserving of, if it's possible for you to have what is just baseline standard and for sure not the abundant one. And I say that even though there may be some of you who's like, no, I think I'm deserving of that. Then tell me what happens then if you think that you're deserving of it and that that's available for you. If you knew that deep in your soul, why is it that you are currently or that you have stayed with the people that you've stayed with for so long? What is it that those relationships have given you that you are fearful of or that's been lacking in your life that you would not have access to if they were not around? Is it companionship, having a body there, having some type of what feels like a backup plan or security plan? Is it the history that you've had together? Is it access to resources? Because if you actually know that you are not only deserving of it, but that is also available in the world for you, and also that someone as beautiful and as amazing and as treasured as you deserves to not be stressed out. Because let's go back to the kinda. I'm happy kinda. There's no period at the end of I'm happy. This relationship is not giving you just gold. It's giving you stressors and sleepless nights and looking at your phone and worried if there's something wrong with you and having to act as if you don't care instead of feeling all of your feelings. It's giving you emotionally eating or not eating at all. It's giving you so much that you don't deserve in exchange for those moments of relief that you might call happiness, but I would wonder if you've actually been able to withstand longer periods of time with happiness in these relationships. So we stay in negative because we are used to being undercut. And also, it may not have been modeled to us, but even if it has, to be happy is scary. So I talk about this in the recovery school. I have some lessons that talk about why we are calibrated towards stress and our fight and flight response and everything else. But one of the things that I share about that is if you've been living your whole life and either needing to be hypervigilant or numbing out, you learn to do that because every time you started to be happy as a little girl, every time you started to trust or hope in someone, something happened. They passed away. They left. They got mad at you. They withheld the love and affection when you made them mad or when they were going through their own things. Just to be happy, you couldn't trust it. There was something that happened financially in the family. Someone got arrested. Someone got really sick. There was always something. So you learned very early on that you can't be chasing waterfalls. You can't put your hope in the clouds. You can only put your hope in the right now, in this moment, and what you can see and what you can touch and what you can control. So to actually be in a relationship that's free and easy and healthy is highly triggering. I had another former attendee of the Healed and Loved Woman Retreat. We've built a relationship outside. Shout out to you if you're listening. But she sent me an update in her life. And she's talking about how she's dating someone now. And I was like, that's so great. I'm so happy for you. And she's dating someone who's good for her because that's part of the things that we've worked on together. So she's dating someone who's good for her. And she says, Sheena, I'm finally understanding what you've always said about once you get into a relationship and a healthy relationship and your love avoidance kicks up, then that is so scary. And I guess 'tis the season right now. I've had another recovery school alumni who's been such a beautiful relationship for the last couple of years, talking about how those are some of the things that she's working on too, allowing yourself to be available to happiness. So these are all the things that we have to continue to heal and work on and to know that not only is it available to us, but that we're deserving of it and that we can sit and that we can rest in it.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
Who remembers watching The Fresh Prince growing up? I don't know about you, but Monday nights, my family was always tuned in. To be able to watch an accomplished Black family that balanced culture, art, humor, and togetherness was so inspiring and healing. And watching Will, Carlton, Ashley, Hillary, and even Aunt Viv during her infamous dance sequence go through so many coming-of-age moments as they discovered themselves and what was most important to them absolutely helped me have confidence to fully embody who I am. Cultural figures and moments like this are so important for us to continue to talk about, review, and celebrate as Black people. And if you're interested in learning more about these types of stories, you have to check out NPR Podcast. NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy and resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Each episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black experience. From Megan Thee Stallion to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Michelle Obama to the women behind the Montgomery bus boycott, there's no limit to the range of NPR. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. For this episode of Black Girls Heal, we've partnered with eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. The people who truly get us on a soul level are priceless. They're the ones you can have the most ridiculous inside jokes with, who get what you're feeling, what you need on a bad day, and are the first people you think of when you have some free time and want to spend it with company. To find these people, you have to be compatible. And compatibility involves so much more than just sharing the same interests in music and film. You have to connect to those who have the same values, complement your temperament, and want the same things in the world. That's why we've partnered with eHarmony. Their compatibility quiz helps your personality come out more in your profile, which makes all other profiles on eHarmony way more interesting and easier to find a match and more fun to read. They want you to find someone who gets you, so give eHarmony a shot. Get started with their compatibility quiz so that you can find someone you can be yourself with. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today. Like I said at the beginning in the intro, I'm going to give y'all some examples of what it looks like to be in the negative, what it looks like to be just at baseline, and then what it may look like to be in a healed and loved state. And then after that, I'm going to talk about some of the roadblocks that I've seen some of the ladies that I've worked with hit on when it comes to working through these things, especially when it comes to working through these things under the Black Girls Heal umbrella and what they've told me and what I've seen directly. I'm going to talk about this in three different topics: what it looks like to be in the negative, be at baseline, and be in the healed and loved status. And the three topics are what it looks like to be in these three different states when it comes to people's energy towards you, the types of relationships you entertain, and their energy towards you, their approach towards you. The second category is the relationship health. What does that look like, and how does it affect you? And then the third category is your personal needs, your own relationship to your own needs and your own wants. So, to be in the negative when it comes to your relationship and people's energy towards you and the types of relationships that you have, when you're in the negative, these types of people, the people who you are around, they may be breadcrumbing you with temporary time and attention that may be flaky and inconsistent. They may ignore you and neglect you sometimes, if not all the time. They may treat you as a burden. They may act as if they are doing a favor to be around you. They may be people who are physically present but not able to give you what you need and what you want as far as attention. So picture people who are physically present. These might also be kind of the nice people that I was talking about before, but they never stop and turn and say, "Hey, we talk about me all the time, and we talk about what I need. What is it that you need?" And not only are they listening, because this is one of the catch-alls and this is one of the gimmies, and I talk about this more in the episode where I discuss the secret ways, the secret seduction of narcissists. It's episode 239, Secret Love Bombing Techniques from Narcissists That You Need to Know. And the way that this works, if someone is a vulnerable narcissist, they are someone who presents as very passive and low key. But what makes them slip under the radar is that they are typically really good at asking you how you're feeling and asking you what you need and listening to you vent and listening to you whatever. But they are not going to be someone who actually can take care of you. They are not someone who's going to hear you talk about a problem and then go around and try to fix it for you. So if you have been in a deficit of having people who've never listened to you or cared about you or spent time for you before, you meet someone who's now listening to you tell your story, and now you're like, this is it. But you're about to hear in a moment what actual baseline and healed and loved woman status looks like. That's a negative. Baseline standard, instead of people ignoring you, neglecting you, using you for attention sometimes, coming around when they want to, these are people who acknowledge your presence and your existence for who you are. They understand and say, okay, Sheena, you are valuable, not just for what you can do for people, but just because you exist and you matter. That is baseline standard for someone to say that and to think that about you. That is baseline. That is zero. You know why? Because you coming into the world, automatically, you are valuable. You don't need to do anything to earn anything. So the fact that this person recognizes a factual statement in the world, they don't get any bonus points for that. Of course you matter. Of course you're important. Of course you deserve to exist. Of course you deserve to be here. That is nothing unique. So that is baseline standard. Healed and loved woman standard is these people that are around you, not only do they know that you matter and that you're important, they go out of their way to hear about how you're doing, to follow up with you, to try to solve problems for you, but without you having to always ask them, even though we're going to get to you asking for help in a moment. But we have people who are adding to your life. They find joy in your experience just for who you are and not for what you do for them. There's an abundance and continual expansion when it comes to their energy with you. There is never a drain. There's never a, you know, I really wanted this from this person, but they're not able to give it, but I know they have the potential for it, so I'm just going to be patient. That's you being in the negative. That's you being in the fantasy of who you want a person to be and what you hope changes in the future, but that's not what actually is here. And so you're trying to make do with the crumbs. No, these people are actually doing it. Being with them puts you at ease, and not at ease. I have to keep saying this because I know so many people, including the example I'm using today, but just in general, so many of us will mistake having a body there and having companionship with ease and relief. And we will completely neglect the emotional labor and the ways that we're sacrificing and the impact of what's happening just because now we're not alone. And that is not an even exchange. These people make it so that you are floating on air, not just because you have a person there, but because they are adding abundance to your life. Let me keep going because of time's sake. The second topic is the relationship health. So I kind of already talked about this, actually, in what I just shared. So you're in the negative if you're around relationships that are bringing you down, either emotionally and their energy drains, and you're constantly having to fix problems with people. They're constantly asking for things. They're never able to get back. They're more takers versus givers. Financially, if you're constantly bailing people out, if you're covering things, if you're neglecting your own needs because they don't have the budget to support you, but it's actually important to you, which I know is kind of a sticky issue depending on the community that you're in right now. But if you are in the negative with them, they are not adding to your life emotionally as well. So even when you talk about things, are they someone who's always picking apart the solutions you're trying to do? Are they the ones who are looking for potholes? Are they the ones who are always talking about how there's nothing good out there and you try to be the positive friend to keep people in brighter spirits? But it doesn't matter what you say, they're always going to be Eeyore. Right? These are relationships that are bringing you down and negatively affecting your health and your ability to move forward. Baseline standard are people who are in the struggle with you. So they're not necessarily people who are intentionally trying to bring you down or like they are set to have a negative viewpoint in the world, but these are people who are at the same place that you are. They may talk about how things need to change, but maybe they're not putting in a lot of effort, or maybe they're putting in just enough, but just enough to where they still stay where they are. So you're kind of almost commiserating together. And what's the thing about these relationships is being in companionship and being in community with folks who get it is so vital, which is why I have this as the baseline standard. Because as long as they're not trying to pick you apart or say, you know, when you try to get out of it, they're like, oh, girl, I wouldn't do that. Or I don't think that's going to work out. They can legitimately be very happy for you. But when you're around people who are so consistent at being at status quo, even when you're very motivated, you become like the community that you're around. So it gets easier for you to anticipate things not working out for you. It gets easier for you to kind of stay where you are a little bit more. It gets easier for you to become complacent. So baseline standard means that you have companionship, but you're not actually moving forward. I continue to have negative relationships with people. I continue to be love addicted. And I have great friends who are good at giving me validation and saying they understand and talking about how hard it is. But are they doing changes in their own intimate relationships? Are they seeking out healthier partners? Are they actively doing their own personal work, or do they just get it? Because I need to be around people who not only get it, but they're actually growing and changing as well, which is the healed and loved woman standard. These are relationships that make you better. They're actively doing their own work. Y'all are sharing resources. Y'all may commiserate sometimes, but this is also the people who are going to remind you of the truth and the abundance and availability of the world, and you're going to be able to do that for them as well. You found a balance between being real and being honest and being grounded, but also making real changes in your life. The third topic is your personal needs. So you are in the negative if you have relationships or your relationships are in the negative. If you have relationships where people are either asking you to or you choose to hide your own needs instead of asking for what you want. These are people who either don't have time, don't have access or resources to it. They say, you know what? I really want to give that to you. Again, our nice women are nice men. I'm going to give that to you, baby. And they got a master plan. And the master plan is 5, 6, 7 years out, or maybe a year out, but they need more time because things keep coming up and they just can't do it, right? Again, we're used to these breadcrumbing. We're used to just staying positive and stay faithful and it's going to work out. Because that's what you've been doing your whole life instead of expecting people to come to you ready. Your baseline is projects level. I can take anyone at whatever level they are, including coming in as a project, and I can work with that because I have not set my standard that I deserve and that is possible for me to come in, for me to have people who are ready for me. So that is being a negative. The baseline is people who understand and you also understanding that you have needs. And girl, your needs are important and you deserve to have your needs met. That's important. And I want you to have that. That's baseline. That's what people should tell you. Even people who can't give you what you want, they shouldn't be bitter about it. They might be sad or disappointed if they wanted to be able to give it to you. But these are people who are going to acknowledge and validate that. And you, in your own personal mind to yourself, you're going to also validate, I have needs and my needs are important and they deserve to be met. But you're still not asking. You're not asking for help. And this is a place where people aren't really offering to help or they can't help. Healed and loved woman status, and when you're in the abundance and when you're in your highest level place, what that looks like here is that you take pleasure in your needs. You're not ashamed of them. You're not embarrassed by them. You're not afraid of being too much. You don't think that you're too little, but you fully embrace your needs and you take care of your needs and you're looking for resources to make sure that in every corner of your life, not only emotionally and mentally and physically and sexually and financially and socially and hobby-wise and creativity-wise and just in your ability to rest, you are fully embracing of all of your needs and you talk about them and you're open with them and you ask people for help and you allow people to give to you, right? There's an openness, there's an open exchange and you're doing this with people who are available. You could be someone who is constantly asking for what you want and what you need, but you're doing it to people who cannot, don't want to, and aren't available to show up for you. So you're in the negative there. Because I'm going to a well that has no water at the bottom and I'm over there trying to scrape it up. I'm aware that I'm thirsty. I'm aware that I deserve water. So I'm going to go to this well and try to make it do what it do instead of going down the street to the aqueduct and filling my bucket easy. And that's what I mean. That's why I was saying so many of us will use great communication skills with people who are built to be unavailable. And that is the same thing that you've done your whole life. You've had to learn how to make do with people who were not available to you and still getting the same result. So I started this podcast years ago because I remember when I learned all this stuff and I was like, wait, there's words to this? I'm not the only one who's ever thought this, ever experienced this. That means that there's a way out because this whole time I thought it was just me. I thought I was the one who just couldn't get it right and just couldn't make a change. So I've started this podcast and I've done all these workshops and programs and all these things to give real resources to folks so that they can be free of this, so that they can actually make change, get out of the negative, get out of the baseline. We don't want you in baseline. We want you to be healed and loved women. We want you to have everything that you want and you need. Going through this can feel very shameful and embarrassing. And especially if you are someone who learned how to cope in a world by becoming hyper independent and being very smart and being a student of your own issues, then you may have had a whole lot of success in working through things independently. And so to actually work in connection with other people can feel very embarrassing. It can feel needless too, because you're good at doing it on your own and just kind of a waste of time. You can do it quicker and faster by yourself. Depending on other people, just lets you down every time. But we're talking about an intimacy disorder. A few things. We're talking about an intimacy pattern, which is based in your fear of being seen, vulnerable, accepted, trusting other people. You don't learn how to work through those things on your own. If anything, you might reinforce those things more because you learn that it's only safe within your own head. And even then, sometimes you're not even safe with yourself based on the things that you tell yourself and the ways that you criticize yourself. So you need to do this in connection and in community so that you can dispel all these things that you've learned to be true by being around healthy and available people that see you and accept you and love you for where you are, who get it for where you are right now, who are not going to judge you, and who have proven that they've worked their way out. One of the things that the person I was talking with earlier shared is, you know, and her trying to find all these ways for us to get together and try to hope and wait to see when I might have a private space available and see if she can fit it into her budget is because she knew that the recovery school has a group element. And they're like, this would be very embarrassing for me to talk about this with other people. And I had to tell her, girl, everybody in that room, including me, has said and felt and done multiple times over every single thing that you said that you did to me multiple times over. If anything, this is the room of women that's going to be the safest space for you because not only have people gotten it, they've actually gotten out of it. And it provides you a way out and provides so much connection and safety. The ability to leave the shame behind is priceless. The first time I walked into a 12-step meeting, which is where I started my recovery, for those of you who don't know my full story, my therapist made me go to a Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous meeting after I protested for a long time and then things got worse. And Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous is one of the free 12-step programs. I mean, all the 12-step programs are free, but it's just one of the 12-step programs that are available. And I remember I walked into the room and one, seeing that there are all these women who are normal, just like me, who were dealing with this was a relief on its own. But I don't think I shared that first meeting, but maybe the second, but I know it was very early on because I was just sick. I was sick and I was sick and tired of being sick and tired and I had been humiliated and I was embarrassed and I was stuck and nothing I was doing on my own was working. And I just knew if I needed to share to be free of this, then that's what I was going to do. And sharing, y'all, if I just would have sat there and just watched, I mean, I could have just watched and listened. You know, there have definitely been meetings where I've just kind of like sat back. But every time I shared, it's like I was releasing and letting go all the shame and all the trauma and all the stories that I've been telling myself for years that have been keeping me stuck. Sharing releases things in you. It allows you to no longer have to carry these things for you. So yeah, sharing is so important. It's your choice. If you were someone who wanted to work together in my Love Addiction Recovery School, it's your choice. I don't ever go around. This isn't like, you know, some church populations where if you're a newcomer, they make you raise your hand, stand up and introduce yourself. No, that doesn't happen here. It's totally under your own volition, if and when you want to share. But I highly encourage you to share because there's no replacement for that. Even if you connect to every single story in the room, which you will, because we all have all these things in common. The other thing that she told me was a deterrent for her was going into no contact. Y'all have heard me talk about no contact for so long, right? No contact is one of my primary things that I really suggest for y'all to do as a healing agent. So the person says she's connected to thinking that I know I need to, but I'm too scared and I don't know if I want to, or actually I do want to, but I'm too scared and I don't think I'm going to make it. So I don't want to join this and I'm not able to do it. And so this program is for nothing. And the point of the recovery school is not for you to cut people off and to go into no contact. This program is to help you get to a place where you can learn how to fully choose yourself and however that looks. There are some people who join the program and there are people that they know that they do not want to be connected to and they join and they decide they do the no contact process and it works for them. There are some people who join and decide they're not going to do the no contact process, but what they find is so much access to their heart and to themselves. And so they're able to make changes in a way that feels full and holistic and connected and joyful versus that they have one more person telling them what they have to do. One more person telling them you have X amount of days to cut this off. Having one more person say that they're disappointed in the fact that they've gone back to another person. No, this is your program to use how you want to. The goal is to find you, to find the beauty that is you. And as you find the beauty that is you, that's when you are able to connect. One, two things. Connect to the people who've always deserved you. Let in the people who've been waiting for you to love them and learn how to love yourself, right? I talk about healing via the relationship window because I know it's a big desire for many of us. And I know for some of us, it's a big wounding. But through all this, we find ourselves. We find the true source of love, which is us, but also our connection to others. I know for those of us who are very much in our yearning stage, that does not sound as sexy and as inviting as it may sound later on in your healing and recovery place. But, and that's fine, because the point is either way, no matter what your motivation is to join the program, to work through this for yourself and to let go of the past issues of relationship trauma and all the stories it's told you and to stop holding future people hostage and to holding them emotionally ransom for the pain that other people have done before, or if the point is because you are tired of making the same mistakes in relationships and friendships and your family with narcissists or whatever it is. And so the goal is relationship health and rehabilitation. Either way, it all works out. But no contact is not a forced part of this program ever. And I take you and I take your journey where you are and what works best for you. And you're the one who's in control the whole time. And this relates to the last fear that I'll say before I close for today is the fear that you won't make the changes at all. What if I invest this money and I invest this time and I'm still the same? And you won't be. You do the lessons, you share, you interact. There's no way that the things that you're learning will not transform you. Y'all are listening to a free podcast. Many of you I know binge these episodes all the time. And think about the changes that you've already made in your life just from listening to a podcast. So how much more deeper would it be to be in a fully interactive program where you have full access to an expert, to a coach, to someone with therapeutic training and experience? For those of you who don't know, I'm a therapist by trade. I'm not your therapist within the program, but I bring all of my knowledge of what works and what has helped women heal within 3 to 4 months' time into the program. There's no way that you can not change at all and change your perspective. It's kind of like you can't unring a bell. Like once the blinds have been lifted, you now have knowledge and access. And so you may choose to do some things, but you're not choosing blindly. And that means that it's more likely for you to come back home to yourself quicker and faster than you may have done in the past. But with that said, something I will say that I have noticed. So for those of you who don't know, a few years ago, I got really sick. My blood pressure was at a level and my body was shutting down to the place where I was literally looking at my life insurance, planning for a day that I was not going to wake up in the morning and what that would mean for my life, for my son. So a few years ago, I made the recovery school a self-study program so that folks who wanted to join could join. And thank God, a few months after I did that, I got connected to doctors who finally listened to me, helped me, and put me on medication that has made me stable and has helped so, so much. And so I'm so grateful for that. And so after I was stable for about 6 to 7 months, I said, okay, I'm going to decide to reopen the recovery school. The recovery school has always been done in cohorts, like 4 to 6 month cohorts for the entirety of the time. And in the earlier days, when the cohort time ended, that meant that our group calls ended. And so when I came back, I was like, you know what? And people could sign on for more, but the group call portion ended. So when I came back, I was like, you know what? I have missed everyone so much. I just want to teach and I just want people to have access and just to come and support. So I've made it open-ended. I made it so that people could always just come and get support. And now they always could. I've had women who joined the program 4 or 5 years ago, and they still come and ask questions in my community group. I know that some people have like Facebook groups and stuff. So we have a similar platform that has a community group. And women will write long, 2-page long posts, and I will go line by line to support them with whatever they're going through, even past their cohort time, right? So I'm like, you know, I've missed people. I've missed being interactive. So I'm going to make it open-ended. But what I've noticed is making it open-ended and not staying true to the cohorts. And I'm understanding this now even more as someone who is neurodivergent. On one hand, it's great because it allows you the space to have the freedom to come and go and make changes and then not feel this pressure that if you procrastinate a little bit, that it's over, right? But what I have found as someone who is neurodivergent is that, or I relate to this as being someone who's neurodivergent, that without an end cap, this really beautiful container that we have, it kind of gives people a little bit more freedom to take their time and kind of mosey through things, but actually not be as committed to what they're working on. And so it's kind of not, I don't know. I think what I'm sensing is we are so needing of structure in a container and always. So for those of you who are like, if I join, I think I'm not really going to make the changes. I'm just going to mosey on. That's fine because I have the container walls back in place now. We're now going to go back to our container together. And a really great thing about having a container too is all my ladies who are procrastinators, now we get to talk about why they procrastinate instead of them kind of hiding in the cut and not really talking about why they're not really working on these things or what happened that kind of spooked them or that they are having self-doubt about. Now they get to come and talk about it because wherever you go, there you are. And however you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you're procrastinating here because something has become stressful for you, it's very likely that you procrastinate in other areas of your life where you get very stressed as well. And so we don't help you learn how to work through that and those fears and those thoughts that come up and the way that you self-sabotage, you're going to continue to do that in other areas of your life. And that's exactly what we need to be working on. And so what I've found from the women who have done this program in the past. And what they've told me is that this program is not about getting, you may come in to work on building your relationships, you may come in to work on building your self-esteem or whatever, but every part of your life is transformed. How you show up in your job, how you show up with your friends, how you think about your family, because everything is interconnected. You change you change your life. And so that is something that I'm very proud of. That's something that I'm very excited to bring back to the program to allow women who may be like me, who kind of kick the can a little bit and will stretch it to the limit. And if there is no limit, then it's off my radar until there is a limit. And providing that support is what I'm very excited about. I think having this container is also really exciting because something else I'll hear from women a lot is that they're really busy right now. They're in the middle of working on a project or a chapter or something's going on with family or something. They're going through a lot of things right now. And they want to wait until things calm down. You can't see my air quotes, the calm down. But like I already said before, wherever you go, there you are. And so I have found with the women who have supported, well, one, I've had some of the most busiest women in the world, women who are going through their PhD programs, women who are ER doctors, women who are teachers, teachers with kids at home, women who literally have just like very little time to do much of anything, especially for themselves, and the program being built in a way to where they can incorporate this stuff into their lives or incorporate these lessons into their lives. But also more, the second one is if you are struggling with being able to catch your breath, with being able to find rest, with being able to prioritize yourself, with being able to track your feelings and where your stress is coming from and all that stuff, that doesn't magically go away once a project or a season is over. If anything, they all overlap and they just kind of multiply on top of each other and they snowball to where you're always feeling overwhelmed. You're always looking for a break that doesn't come. And so if you are someone who is chronically busy and someone who's always feeling emotionally overwhelmed, this actually might be the right time for you to do it so that you can get a break from this and start to change some of the habits that make it so that in times of overwhelming, the times of overwhelm is either hard for you to find a little bit of respite or to be able to prioritize yourself or learn why is it that I keep putting myself in these places? How can I find the balance between being everything that I am and doing everything that I want that doesn't come at a cost, that doesn't come at me end up burning myself out and being emotionally neglectful sometimes of myself because I just have to get things done or there's no time and space for me to have for myself. So if these are things that you would like to work on to get out of the negative, and not even at baseline, but to get into a healed and love woman state, to have love balance and love availability, love available relationships, to feel love nourished. The recovery school, the Love Addiction Recovery School is for you. I am hosting our next open house for enrollment on Tuesday, June 18th for our June cohort. And I would love for you to be there. If you have come before, you already know that I spend the first half teaching about our intimacy disorders, not only as a refresher, but just so you can know what it is that we do here and how I support you. And in the second half of the open house is where I get into the program and offer you a chance to enroll. It is free to attend. And the women who come to the open house always, always love it, even if they end up not becoming a student of the program. But the program is so amazing, especially if you have been really connected to what I've shared today. I know it's the right one for you. So you can join me live again on Tuesday, June 18th at 6:30 p.m. CST. This is where I go into the full download of the program because there's a lot of different components from the structure, the curriculum, the lessons, and all that other stuff. So if you try to send me an email and ask me like 8 different questions that I answer in the open house, I'm going to redirect you to the open house, not because I don't want to answer the questions, but because the women who join my programs are so self-accountable and so amazing, and they ask really important questions, and they want details, and I'm like that too. I want to know what's happening and when and how long, and I want to be very clear on the guidelines and standards, and so I know that because I am that, and so that's why I started doing the open house, so I can go over it fully with everyone. So again, you can join me by going to blackgirlsheal.org/open house on Tuesday, June 18th at 6:30 p.m. CST. And I look forward to seeing you all there. All right, that's it for today's episode. I'm sending you all so much love and I will see you in the next one. Take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.